welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Brewer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series that we've been calling Camouflage Christmas. And we've been looking through the Old Testament at these just various prophecies, statements about the coming of Jesus. And specifically, we've been looking at some prophecies that surround what's often called the threefold office of Christ. These offices in the Old Testament, the offices of prophet, priest, and king, and how all of those find their fulfillment in Jesus, how there are prophecies about sort of each one of those offices in the Old Testament, about how while there are human beings in the Old Testament that occupy those offices and fulfill the functions of each of those offices, all those people, the offices themselves are foreshadowings. They're all pointing towards Christ and how he is our ultimate prophet, priest, and king. And so this past Sunday, we were looking at this idea of Jesus being king. And we looked at the promise that God made to David. And it's a prophecy. It's through the prophet Nathan about how David is always going to have, that God would raise up a descendant of David that would sit on the throne, and that David's throne would have no end, right? There would be no end to this kingdom, the Davidic kingdom. And this became the focal point of a lot of later prophecy, that there was someone coming from the line of David, and of his kingdom there would be no end. There would be this king that would come from David's line, and he would sit on the throne, and he would restore the people of God and rescue the people of God, and of his kingdom and of his reign there would be no end. And of course, we know that that prophecy is fulfilled in the life of Jesus. That's how Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 starts off. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the one we've all been waiting for, the son of David. The authors are very, very clear that, that Jesus comes from the line of David. He is the king that we've been waiting for. But one of the things that I found just fascinating that I kind of talked with our folks about is how just the bigness of God, the sovereignty of God, and his ability to work good and bring about his glory out of really sinful circumstances and shameful circumstances. And it has to do with this office of king itself. And this is fascinating to me. When you look at how the kingship of how the office of king was established in the first place in the nation of Israel, it's not with David. It's not a good thing. You know, we tend to think of the king and the office of king being, hey, this is a good thing. You have a godly king, you know, someone like David, but that's not the reality. Most of the kings of Israel were not good kings. And also, the way the kingship was established was the people rejected God. So Samuel, the prophet, led the people of Israel for many, many years. And near the end of his, toward the end of his life, his sons start to take over for him, but they are just not like him. They don't follow the Lord. And so the people of Israel come to Samuel and say, hey, you know, your sons are not like you. You're getting old, and we want a king. And we want a king just like everybody else around us has a king. And it's such a tragic moment, because the people of God who are called by God to be different, and this has such an application for the church today, we are not called to be like the people around us, like the world or culture around us. Our values should be different. We serve the Lord. He is the one that we give our lives to and our allegiance to, and so we should be different. Our values, our dreams, our purpose, it's different. Our identity is in Christ, and the people of Israel, they forgot that. They had God as their king, and instead they look around and say, no, we want a human king, because we want to be like all the nations around us. And their request, it upsets Samuel, and Samuel goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. And yet God is, he says, you know what, give them what they want. Give them a human king. And so they put Saul as king, and Saul turns out to not be a good king. He turns away from the Lord. But I just sort of marveled at the fact that, I mean, the office of king is established as a rejection of God himself. The people saying, God, we don't want you as king. We want to be like everyone else and have a human king. And then God eventually puts David in that place and promises David that he's going to give him a king from his line on the throne forever. And that's such a wonderful promise. And at the same time, you're thinking, well, that's not really what we need as the people of God. We need God as our king. And yet God says, man, watch me work all of this out to where all of this finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Where Jesus fulfills that promise. He's the fulfillment of that promise to David, in that he is from David's line. He is fully man. And he's also fully God. And so once again, we have God as our king. We've got the promise to David fulfilled. And yet God is also our king again. We don't have these mediators anymore, prophets, priests, and kings. We just have one mediator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who represents God to us and us to God. And he is the eternal king who reigns over our lives and rules over the kingdom forever. And I just tried to get our folks to really do what I've been doing, and that is just to marvel at who God is, and to remind us of the bigness of God and how he is so sovereign and good and in control that he's able to take even our sinful, I mean, his people's sinful decisions and waywardness and somehow work it out for his glory and for our good. And certainly that never excuses sin, right? We don't use the sovereignty of God to excuse our sin, but I think it should be a comfort to us, especially here at the end of 2020, in a year that has felt so out of control, to know that we serve a God who is eminently, fully, completely in control. And we may not always know all that he is doing or understand it, because his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts, but he is in control and he is good, and he is able to work all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he's able to work all things for his glory. Jesus is king. So I hope that encourages you today. I want to thank you for joining us and listening. I'm going to pray for us, and then I encourage you just to take some time and to pray and to thank God for who he is. Thank God for sending Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord, and the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for sending Jesus for us. We thank you that you are so able, and Father, that you are fully in control. And God, as we close out this year and we look to the next, Father, there's still a lot of uncertainty. But we know, Father, that you are good and that some things are certain. Father, your reign, your rule, and your ability to govern every aspect of our lives. God, we thank you for that and we take comfort in it. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have a great week. Merry Christmas. Take some time now just to pray to the Lord.